as the trains roll by at very high speed and very, very noisy. It's a noisy, soot-spilling, cancer-causing nanoparticles.
Choo-choo!
Choo-choo! So tonight, before we start, I want to tell you hi. My name is Max, and I'm with Dr. Susie.
Hi,
Dr. Susie.
Tonight, how are you doing?
I'm doing good.
You feeling better?
I have sort of like broken back. That's not broken. Hopefully it's not broken. But my muscle. I threw out my back.
In the trash?
I can't find it. It's getting there. It's getting there.
I think you're finding it, actually.
Yeah, no, it's a lot of pain. I bet you people who listen to this, no matter when they're listening to it, they go, yeah, I remember that when I threw out my back. Wow, that was a trip.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about censorship. We're going to talk about COVID. We're going to talk about word cleansing. Word cleansing. 1984. Double speak, all that. Let's hear now, guys. Your voice. And Purim. We're going to eat some pussy cookies.
Ooh, yeah. Gideon made great pussy cookies. Much better than the deli Chumantashen I grew up with.
You know, we have one of the best chefs in the world here.
Here, here.
We have several.
Right.
But in this case, it's Chef Gideon and right. Pussy cookies. Mm-hmm. Because it's Purim weekend, so we're going to eat them. And we're going to watch a wild Purim show after we get off the train. That's what we're, riding to, into the past. Mm-hmm. So before we get to the Purim, though, we're talking about a few things.
I forgot CPAC.
CPAC, right, yeah.
Yeah.
And the golden Trump. Looks like Bob's Big Boy, actually. Was dipped in gold with all-American diaper. And we're going to talk about mean old Uncle Rush. Rest in piss. Or meanie. Rot in piss.
Meanie, meanie.
Uncle Rush. Yeah.
Such a meanie.
On Counterpunch now and getting all kinds of interesting responses, including from famous people. Whew. Find out who. Keep listening. And we're going to talk about prison. Actually, different kinds of prison. Like Facebook jail is a kind of prison, which is pretty bad because it's censorship. I'm all for cancel culture, but not censorship. And yet, of course, real prison is much worse. So we're going to talk about all of that. And are we going to talk about sex, too?
Always talk about sex.
Always talk right. about
You want to talk
sex.
About it now?
Hey, well, look. Yeah.
Why don't you lay down, make yourself comfortable. Put your AirPods for $220 in your ear.
Pods.
Pods. Oh, pads. No, pods. Pods. You stick one in one ear and one in the other. Each costs $100 and some odd. And listen. Okay?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And you'll have some eargasms.
You're going to hear the sounds of sex.
Oh. Oh, yeah. I love it. I do. Mm-hmm. I love the sounds of sex. And somehow, sometimes, the sounds of sex, the sounds of pleasure...
are offensive to some people.
...can be similar to the sounds of pain, which I was hearing quite a bit of this last week. Do you want to talk about your pain now, Captain Max?
Yes. Everybody pay attention.
We just got vaccinated.
Yeah. First of all, we just got vaccinated at Kaiser. It was very nice. It was all very nice.
Mm-hmm.
And
little stick in the arm, penetration.
Right. Little penetration.
Not exactly a turn on, but it's
okay.
Not bad.
No, yeah. That was in. Oh, never mind. We'll get into the nurses. there was one hot nurse there.
With cool.
So much hair. So she's not been. I mean, hair down to her ass.
Right,
it was,
right.
It was great. It was beautiful. I thought it was extraordinary.
Can't go to the hairdresser, you know.
Right, you can't go to the hairdresser. So it reminded me of your hair.
Well, I have mine all up in a bun. So, but it's pretty wild.
You ever been out west where they have those tumbleweeds? Sometimes when I'm sleeping.
You get a tumbleweed in your face.
I feel a tumbleweed.
And by the way, just in case you're wondering who is laughing with peals of joy, that is Sister Mariah.
Hello, hello.
And Brother Abe is our engineer.
Hello, everybody.
Mm-hmm. So back to Captain Max.
So anyway, somehow after not paying attention to what I was doing, I threw my back out. Everybody's thrown their back out. Everybody. But finally they find it again. But in the meantime, it's fucking pain. Mm. Right? You can't move this way. You can't move that way. Your ass hurts.
Oh.
Your lower back hurts. Your thighs hurt. And then your legs hurting. And they say, fuck, I'm about to drop dead. Right?
Right.
So
it's
pain,
bad.
Powerful pain.
And we're not sure where it comes from. We're not sure if it has to do with the vaccine.
Right. No.
Because I got my vaccine and my arms hurt a little bit. Both of them, though. And I think that's more from my yoga because I keep pushing myself and I'm now doing these push-ups. But the vaccine could be causing this muscle pain, or maybe you just got up the wrong way.
It's one of the, it is one of the side effects.
Mm-hmm. I know it wasn't sex. I hate to say. I wish we could say it was in a way, but then I'd feel guilty. So maybe not. But sex in some form is always the antidote. And I say in some form because, maybe you're too sick or too racked with pain, let's say, to experience quote unquote regular penis and vagina sexual intercourse. But touch and pleasure is always an antidote to pain. And yes, we have drugs for that, and you took some good drugs, which we'll talk about. But really there are lots of ways to combat the pain via pleasure, which is all pain management really is. You can do it through natural means, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
You can do it through both. I believe in both. I mean, hey, just take your Vicodin if you need it. Come
just
on.
Just sniffing is good.
Yeah. Sniffing.
A little sniff, sniff here and a sniff, sniff
yeah,
there.
Yeah, it's like aromatherapy.
No,
right.
People don't realize how much that affects relationships.
It definitely does. I mean, I did not experience a lot of pain from this vaccine. Although, in a way, I did because, you and I are connected. We're primates, and I feel your pain. I mean, I can't help it. It's for better and worse.
Aww.
I feel it, and when you yell in pain and call out, I just worry and wonder. And that's part of being in love, is you feel your lover's pain. And I know you've felt mine in the past, because I've certainly had some pain experiences. Adventures in pain.
Yeah. Sorry, I just burped. Excuse me.
It's okay. You're in pain. Are you in pain right now?
I'm with the family.
Or you're...
Yes.
Taking medication right now. You're on Tylenol. Not too much,
I'm
actually.
I'm on Tylenol. Yeah. And I'm on other things. And the other things are...
Those other things. They're legal. It's legal
I know.
A little.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or a lot. A lot. Yeah. And it's a painkiller. There are lots of different types of painkillers. And that's really what it's all about. They're all about delivering little bits of pleasure.
California Coronas are a way to...
Yeah.
Ease the pain. I mean, dentists used to yank it out with like some whiskey.
But don't discount sexual pleasure as a way to combat the pain that you might be in. And I know it's almost heresy to say that in medical yes. circles and certainly religious circles, but it's true. When you're experiencing arousal, you don't feel the pain so much. I mean, it's not a permanent cure. It's just a aspect of pain management that I, as your favorite sexologist, feel the need to point out. You know, sometimes you'd be in such pain, but I'd give you a little massage and it would just feel better. Or at least I thought so. No?
Yes.
I'm wrong? I was wrong. No, no. It didn't make no. it feel better.
I was just
I'm deluded. Can't you say, yes, darling, you did a great massage. You're a wonderful nurse. I love you. Come on.
I was about to get into that.
Oh, okay.
You didn't allow me to.
Okay. Go ahead.
So the fact is that, what is the fact? Fact is I'm a little stoned. And we've been sitting here waiting for this train, this fucking train, which was late. And we got started 2 minutes late. And then, yeah, that's where we are right now. We're drinking.
Woo-hoo.
Yeah, but we don't have to drive anywhere. Okay? Just don't fall while you walk back to your place. And Dr. Susie? Hello? Are you
yes,
there?
Yes, I am here. I just wanted you to,
okay.
you know, talk about, I don't know, what? What do you want to talk about? Your pain? No, no more pain. We're done.
Oh, yeah, yeah, no, we're coming back to pain.
Okay.
We're just waiting for this operation.
In the train.
To finish here.
Pain on the train. P words, there's lots of them. You know, pain and pleasure are both P words.
Okay. We're just doing a little podcast, a little podcast, a little podcast. Well, we're talking to you, and we're talking about us, and you.
And we just got vaccinated, and we recommend you get vaccinated, but at the same time, there's always complexity in life, and the vaccine has side effects, and maybe, you know, Max's pain for the past several days have been side effects of the vaccine. So I guess watch out for that. We are in strange times. This is the coronapocalypse, and we've reached over 500,000 dead, over 500,000 in the United States of COVID-19. We have different choices that we have to make about what we want to do. We chose to get vaccinated. We hope a lot of people do choose to get vaccinated because otherwise people will still keep getting it. You need to have a certain portion of the population do it. And there are different vaccines. We got the Pfizer, which I guess is a good one, but you have to go back again, which is kind of scary.
You know, since bombing Biden took office, we've actually vaccinated millions of people.
Bombing Biden. Well, yeah. You drop a bomb like that, and maybe we should talk about bombing Biden, because we've been very Biden supportive these past few months, I guess. I certainly was not.
Don't say that before the checks get here.
When he was running.
You know what I'm saying?
You know, in the primary, that is. I was not. I was a Bernie babe and somewhat of a Liz Warren gal. Cougars. Go Cougars.
Ooh.
In every sense of the word, baby. Yeah. Uh-huh. Sally Mullins is so sexy.
That's exactly what I was thinking about right now.
As Liz Warren. You saw
yes.
where I spank her.
Oh, I yeah. love that.
I spank
episode.
Her for not supporting Bernie.
I was thinking about stuff also, yeah. but I can't
Very
say.
Sexy show. And actually, we're probably going to be replaying that show very soon because it was a St. Patty's show Which in 2020.
Right after this show.
Is Purim.
Is Purim, and you can watch that. And it's a really good show. There's a lot of stuff going on there.
Get yourself some pussy cookies.
Yeah, pussy cookies. We're going to be eating them soon. Yeah,
when are we going to be eating them?
Well, we brought up the Biden bombing, but you didn't say what we should we dispense with that. Okay, let's do it.
Okay.
Biden, don't bomb. Okay, it's got a nice ring to it. Okay.
It's not nice.
It's not bonobo, another B word. Not even good for America in any way. This time, I guess there was an Iranian attack that killed a contractor. Did not kill an American serviceman, but a contractor. This is a private war in many ways, just brings to mind. I mean, death is death. It's no good. But to answer death with death is also no good. It's like two wrongs don't make a right. And now there's 22 casualties from the Biden bombs. And I guess they struck Syria. And it's all a mess. And we're now making it much, much messier. Media Benjamin from Code Pink said, another absolutely ridiculous claim by the Pentagon about bombing Syria. Quote, we have acted in a deliberate manner that aims to de-escalate the overall situation in both eastern Syria and Iraq, end quote. And she writes, you de-escalate by bombing a sovereign nation? Really? I'd hate to see how you escalate. Well, I guess George W. Bush can show you how we escalate. There's levels, but still, this is not an auspicious beginning. Joe, we want to love you, Joe. We really do. But don't be doing this unbonobo thing. Make love, not war. It's so cute the way you seem to have sex with your wife or whatever. You got something going on, Valentine's, you know. I love that. Love the hearts on the lawn, everything. That's so cool. But no, you cancel it out when you start bombing people because it's people that are killed.
And why are we bombing them?
No reason. No reason, really. I mean, there are reasons, but they're not good reasons. Okay? So, do we dispense with that? Or, you know, violence. Violence, it's hard with violence. It's hard to de-escalate. And that does bring me to Purim.
I just want to say one thing.
Yeah.
You know, Joe, you called me many nights.
Right.
24 hours a day.
Constantly calling my husband, Joe.
Asking for my support. And I gave you $30. And you kept calling and calling. I'm glad you're the president of this here United States of America, which we all love or hate or don't give a shit. But
better than the golden calf, anyway. I guess Biden's better than the golden calf, but don't be bombing.
Yeah, don't be bombing. I mean, where's your book? You piss me off. Now I'm going to come over there and bomb the shit out of you. Oh, how about that?
Yeah. So let's talk about de-escalation, because that is the bonobo way, to be able to de-escalate without violence, without killing anybody. There might be some violence involved, you know, but there's levels of this. It's, again, not exactly a black and white situation, but death is kind of black and white, you know. Of course, you could be maimed, and that's almost a living death. And that is what happens a lot with what they call casualties.
One of the reasons I follow Jesus is because he was killed and he came back.
Right. That was pretty good.
I'd like to do that.
I'd like to do that. Yeah, it would be nice.
He was cool. Anyway.
Yeah, Jesus Rising. So this show that we're going to have on after the live FDR show. And by the way, FDR stands for, of course, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who was our 32nd president of the United States and a great president in many ways, although he also had many faults. Yes.
Excuse me.
Good ganja. Good painkiller, huh?
Yeah.
It helps, right, a little bit. You know, it's all about management of your pain, which includes management of your painkillers. A lot of pain in life. And then there's mental pain. We're not even getting into that.
And there's pain makers.
Management.
Try to keep the pain makers out of your life. So Purim Rising, this show that we did in 2013, part of Eve Ensler's 1 billion rising movement, which does have that kind of Jesus feeling to it. Rising. We're rising from the dead, in a way. We're rising from the disenfranchised. And the idea is to stop violence, or let's say, because I'm such a stickler for meaning, reduce violence, including rape. The Eve Ensler movement is mainly about violence against women, but of course we're trying to stop violence against everybody. And it's a little bit sexy, that movement, but you know, we of course are a lot sexy. And our Purim story is a very sex positive tale, basically a feminist tale in a patriarchal time, beginning with the feast of a king and the disobedience of a queen, and ending with the obedience of a king and the feast of a queen. Think about that. This is from a very patriarchal religion, of course. It's not exactly a perfect holiday either, or a story. It ends in a lot of violence, and there's violence all through. But Purim is definitely about the triumph of this female heroine, Esther. And we did this amazing show, and everything okay over there?
I'm going down to the pissing car.
Oh, okay. All right. Should I just go on here?
Oh, absolutely.
Or should I help you piss over there?
No, it's
all right. Okay, I feel like I hear the waters of the Red Sea party. No, that's a different holiday. Anyway, this Purim, it starred some very amazing people. Leela Sweet as Queen Esther, T-Real as King Ahasuerus, Amor Hilton as Vashti, the disobedient queen, naked on the cross, whipped by the guards. Oh, those guards. And Max Hardcore was also in it. He was a palace musician. So it was a fantastic show. You can see it tonight after the live radio broadcast here of FDR, which I was saying is short for Franklin Delano Roosevelt, our 32nd president of the United States, and it is also short for Fuck the Rich. See, there I was trying to combine my sexy voice with my political voice. Did that work?
Got that. I heard kind of a little bit of both.
A little bit of both, right? Because we were saying before, I have a sexy voice and I have a political voice. But it's being able to combine them that is really ecstatic, right? So that's what we stand for. Fuck the Rich here on FDR. And yeah, because, you know, it's better to be fucked than eaten. And certainly that is what happens in Queen Esther's tale, Purim. And it was a crazy, crazy night. A beautiful show, wild, sexual. And it was the most violent night in Bonoboville ever. Well, next to our LAPD raids. Actually. So, you know, I was going to talk with Max about it because he was there, but he's in the gentleman's room. So,
pissing car.
But Abe, you were there.
Yeah, it was.
You, but your microphone is not on, or I don't hear you.
That's because I'm a little bit farther away from the microphone.
Oh, there you go. Okay. Well, now you're audible.
Yeah. I'm also edible. Yeah.
Well, yeah, But we're into eating the rich, and I know what you get paid. But but gals, Abe just did himself a little personal ad on the show, and hey, that's what this show's about, I advertising mean, for love.
You're going to say I'm audible then.
Yeah, go ahead. Edible. Yeah. All right. So it was your first night engineering. And it was a really, really crazy night. And I would say you were one of the heroes of the night. I know it's kind of a strange memory for you, but it was wild. These people, I'm not going to name names. Although you could probably put it together by watching the show and seeing who was in it and who I'm not talking about. Because I'm kind of talking up everybody else. But certain people got violent, which does not happen in Bonoboville, but then again it did, and we were all very shocked by this. One of them was drunk and started with a drink thrown in the face, and then a chair thrown, and then punching, and then the worst damage was a guy punching through a window and hurting himself. And then a guy punched another guy, and then a girl starts inciting and pushing another guy, saying, fight for me, or he tried to hurt me. And it was madness. It was so un-bonobo. And I was trying to kind of talk people down in my way, de-escalate, and it was certainly not too successful. Nobody got killed and nobody got super hurt, so maybe it was slightly successful. But what really put it down, and you were doing this too, but we had some clients there, a couple, whose names I will also not mention, but they happen to be very large, especially him. And not that he punched, you know, other people were punching and we were like, what do we do? And people are saying, call the police. No, that's just going to make things worse. And he just kind of put himself on top of the guy.
Oh, yeah.
And stopped it.
Oh, yeah. He just said, you guys are going to cut that shit. He just grabbed him. Yeah.
And he was like a gentle giant.
Yeah.
I'm proud he was my client.
Yeah, right. That was an interesting night.
It was. And he was definitely a hero of the night. And I got to say, you know, there was a case in which his brute size did help. And he didn't do anything violent himself.
We've actually had some pretty interesting characters come.
Oh, incredibly interesting characters. And most of it is on drsusanblock.tv. Well, no, I shouldn't say that. Half of it. Because a lot of it isn't up there yet. We've got it in tapes. And yes, tapes, the old-fashioned mode. And some of it we just weren't filming, you know. It wasn't the days of phones filming like that. This was 2013. I don't know, maybe people were filming the fighting. And maybe there are films of the fighting. We weren't consciously filming the fighting. But there was a fight, broke out in Bonoboville, and we had to de-escalate. And Abe, he tried to de-escalate, and you got in a line of fire. You took a punch for Bonoboville. It was wicked.
Yeah, what I find weird is, as young as I was back in 2013, I was acting a lot more mature than that dude.
Oh, you were...
I mean, that dude, he was probably... He was probably like seven years older than me at the time or something like that.
No, he was.
And like, I don't know. That guy.
By the way,
that guy was kind of weird. I mean, after that, after what I saw from him, it was just strange that, you know, you could grow up but not really mature.
He wrecked his car.
He had problems. And I think his dad was in law enforcement. Not that I'm going to say any more than that, but, you know, he had a temper problem. And the best thing he did was recruiting you. He was only with us for maybe a month, I guess, or maybe 2 months.
I don't think that long.
Not even that long.
I don't think it was that long.
Yeah, he could not control his temper. He was the start of it. But I have to say, some other people that surprised me just got right into it. And we had to purge Bonoboville of those people. And that was the hardest part. Wow. It wasn't too hard to tell that guy to get lost.
Wow.
That guy was on his way out that night. That night.
Escorted out.
And we didn't call the police, but we kind of threatened it. And he got himself out. And that was fine. But it was the other people that also got involved that were some of our most creative people.
Well, the one thing I remember very clearly of that night is being threatened with a hammer.
Yes, yes, wow. By one of our creative people, people that was a little, crazy or is that too ableist?
No.
I don't know, but she was a little, off, but she was great in most ways. But then she went nuts that night. And so did a couple other people, and they had to go too. And that's sometimes what you have to do to de-escalate the violence. But you don't answer violence with violence if you can help it, in my opinion. But yeah, it's not easy. I will grant you that. It isn't easy to know how to respond. But this is quite an exciting show, even though it's before the violence. It's still, it's a powder keg of a show. And Purim is kind of a powder keg of a holiday.
When are we eating the...
Okay, so we should eat the...
pussy?
The pussy cookies
pussy cookies.
So I have one, and you can open those up, or I don't know, somebody.
I shall distribute these pussy cookies.
I have my own pussy cookie.
Go ahead and reach in there.
That has red jelly in it. I think it's strawberry, or is it cherry?
Look at that.
Strawberry, I guess. Anyway, it looks like the woman's on her period. But it tastes much better. Although, if you're into Red Wings, hey, it's cool. As long as, your blood brother and sister.
Can we eat them now?
Yeah. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, borei pri haman tashen. Amen.
Women.
They're even good after a couple of days.
I ate a lot of pussy cookies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, of course, when they were fresh, they had that. They were hot.
Mm. These are delicious, though. Mm-hmm.
But they are very delicious, unlike the ones I grew up with, where you had to, drink a ton to deal with anything because they were totally powdery.
Thank you, Gideon.
Gideon. Eat the rich, baby. Yeah. We'll eat you or we'll fuck you. What would you prefer? Whatever you want, you're going to have to give up some of that money, honey. That's the bottom line. But this is good.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Sorry if we're not talking right now. It's that this pussy is so scrumptious. It's pussy cookie.
It's really a good idea to eat pussy. If you're going to be in a body, fluid, bonded, sexual relationship and all that stuff. Because, not that it's not... It's okay experience to do it through a dental dam. But not the same. Just different. I find that whatever restriction you might have, you can still enjoy sex because sex is a feeling. Sex is an attitude, really. So right now I'm having sex with a chumintashen. Hey, call me a pervert. I think there's a lot of you out there like me. Right? You have sex with your food. Just with your tongue. I'm not talking about rubbing it on your genitalia. Some of you do that too. But I'm talking about just the eating part, the just enjoyment. It's related. It's not that different. That's what's so confounding. Even Loser Twersky has agreed that these chumintashen are exceptionally good. Although he missed the dry, dusty... texture of the old-fashioned kind, because he's that kind of guy.
What do we have, one left?
Purim Sameach.
I'm satisfied.
Mm-hmm. Well, all this pain certainly doesn't dull your appetite.
Oh, not at all.
Well, it actually does. When you're really feeling the pain, for the past few days, you've lost a tremendous amount of weight. Really, like 2 pounds, I 3 pounds yeah. in the past like 2 days.
That's okay.
With all this pain, because you can't eat.
Yeah, the problem is I lost my back.
Yeah, well, I think you're finding that again. And you might find your weight again, so be careful about that. You know, I'm not looking at that thing, but I could look at my new iPhone has information on it.
Whoa, information.
Keep talking. That was good.
Well, no, okay.
Talk about your iPhone. I'll talk about something else, okay?
I don't know if I want to talk about my iPhone. I got an iPhone.
Well, she does have comments on Instagram. Maybe
okay.
I could review a couple of those.
Yeah, go ahead. Review them because I'm not because it's on a fucking iPhone that I don't know how to operate.
SGT Falcon CA said, hello, Doc.
Hello, SG. Ba-da-ba-doo.
You also got a hi, Dr. Susie, from Donald Robson.
Donald.
And we've got from A19 Romero.
Say something more specific, people.
What is your
opinion?
What is your opinion of polyamory?
Polyamory. Well, I'm so happy that you asked because I think it's great. I think it's cool. You know, I think sometimes the term is used to describe cheating, but that's not so cool. But, you know, when all the parties are in agreement about how to party, it's very cool, polyamory. I'm all for it. I got several shows about it. I got stuff on the DrSusanBlockInstitute.com site about it. You can also call the Institute at 213-291-9497 if you want to talk about it privately, if you want your privacy. But if you want to be public about your polyamory, then you can call us right here at 626-461-5950. And that includes you. What's his name?
A19 Romero.
A19 Romero. I feel like I'm in some Orwellian world.
We are. We're on Instagram.
We are. I feel like that. And I've been feeling like that actually for the past 20 years.
Okay.
So, okay.
That's cool. And what his question was?
Polyamory.
Oh, polyamory. Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Dr. Susie. Yeah.
So somebody was making fun of Margarine, who I make fun of all the time because she's a fucking amosexual lunatic.
Marjorie? Who's Marjorie?
Marjorie Taylor Greene. But she is supposedly polyamorous, which, hey, I think that's cool. I'm not against that. And she supposedly had sex with some tantric yoga teacher who looked like a lunatic, actually. But, you know, hey, if you want to be with someone who looks like what I would consider a lunatic, and I'm politically incorrect to say that, I'm sorry. I've just been reading that everything I say is this new awful thing called ableist, where I call people stupid, and that upsets the stupid community. So let me just apologize in advance, because I do that. Oh, shit. Anyway, speaking of stupid, CPAC. What? Okay. Oh, polyamory. So I think it's cool. For everybody to do it, right wing, left wing, center, middle wing, multi wing.
I am polyamorous myself, and I believe it's a little more natural.
Yeah,
yeah.
So the bonobos like are polyamorous.
My thought process on it. So.
Yeah, I mean Max and I are polyamorous in our minds at this point. In the erotic theater of the mind, we are very polyamorous. We are having sex with you. What's his name?
A19 Romero.
A19. It's a difficult name to remember. A19 Romero.
Maybe it's 19.
But I am currently, whether you know it or not, having sex with you. And we will talk about you, my husband and I. Later tonight, you will be part of our polyamorous fantasies. And so it's good for you. Cause
I would like to see his picture first.
I don't want to see his
picture. I thought you were going to say his penis.
I want to just make it all up in my mind. I don't want to. Okay, if you want to send us your picture, you risk that I will not want to think about you. Ever. And that I'll be mad at Max if he brings you up. And I'll say, no, don't talk about him. That has happened.
A19
so
Romero.
You're risking that, but you can go ahead and do it. Try it.
Okay.
So CPAC, speaking of disgusting things, they have a golden statue of Trump that looks like Bob's Big Boy in American flag diapers. Really, they're like diapers. They're shorts and flip-flops. I like flip-flops, but come on, a gold statue. It's the golden calf. Do these people know that? Maybe they do, and they revel in that. I'm asking you, God. Can you answer, please? Amen, amen, whatever, what are they doing? They call themselves religious, and they have a golden Trump.
Yeah, well, yeah.
That's always been,
it's a sexual thing. I know that. The people posing with him, they are like, they're posing with some sort of love doll.
Yeah, it's a holding a false god above, you know, that's one of my arguments too.
And a sex god too, Daddy Trump. Except he doesn't really look like a daddy. He looks a little bit like a baby, but not quite. It's totally weird. It's... Okay, I'm sorry I'm being ableist to the weird community now, but I consider myself a member of the weird community, okay?
Here, here.
And we love all the names, and we love all the lifestyles, and we love that we're changing the world.
Yeah, no judgment.
Yeah, yeah, no judgments. You can't, you know, if you really believed in that guy that came back from the dead, you know, there's no judgment. He didn't have a judgment.
Yeah.
Now, he had a lot of pain, that guy.
Yeah, because he put some fucking nails or something in his hands. And if they did that to me, I would be screaming like I was yesterday.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know if you could scream any more passionately and loudly like an opera scream. Could you do it again for our listeners?
No.
It's too embarrassing.
It's very embarrassing.
It has to happen organically, kind of like an orgasm, but the opposite.
Yeah.
It's so intense, you cannot control it. I guess you could control it, just like you can quiet yourself when you have an orgasm. But it feels better to express the pain through voice. Oh. It does. It's weird. And, there I go again. But it is an aspect of being human, or perhaps being an ape. Apes like to vocalize both sex and pain.
Jux is down
pleasure
there,
and pain.
In the room.
Hello, Jux. You were at that show. Whoa. Was that not like the wildest night ever, good and bad? We use, of course, Jux's amazing photography. If you're looking at us on Facebook or something, we're using a picture, a group picture. And this group picture was taken when we had just done our Purim spiel, and we were all happy and sexed up and feeling good and putting our clothes on just for the camera to do a PG picture. And then we sort of drifted off, and most people had a great time as usual. And then some people went nuts. And I'm sorry to the nuts community, but sometimes you want to suppress that thing when it's violent. then you have to learn the art of suppression. Usually we are in the practice of helping people to express. And every once in a while, you have to suppress. And speaking of which, you know, I wish I could have suppressed mean old Uncle Rush. Mm-hmm. What were you going to say?
I was just going to say how wonderful this photo is. And all these very interesting kind of folks that nobody knows who they are.
I know who they are.
Yeah, but a lot of people know who they are.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of people
and
know
some of them are a little bit famous. Yeah. Let me just say that Daryl Wright.
Oh, Daryl.
Oh, the comedian.
He was great through the whole thing. And he had already been on the show a couple of times, and one of the photos that Jux Lee had taken of him had been made famous at his roasting, in which he is sitting on a chair completely drunk. Just, you got to see it. I don't know if I can describe it, but it's epic.
The best part is they had it on a huge billboard when he arrived.
Yeah, yeah, they did. That picture of him. But the reason they did is because it is an epic picture.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was taken by Jux Lee. And so is this picture. And this picture was at that crossroads of a complete beautiful sexual celebration and then this outburst of violence. And some people might say the sexual celebration led to the violence. But I would say no, not at all, because we had hundreds of sexual celebrations that led to no violence at all.
Oh, there he is. He's in the photo.
Who?
The comedian.
Yeah, Daryl. Yeah, Daryl played pimpin' cousin Mordecai. You know, he was pimpin' his cousin, Esther, the hero of the story, who saves her people from destruction, genocide, with nothing but her weapons of mass seduction.
Oh, yeah, those weapons.
And you could think of them as torpedoes, if you like. But she was quite a dancer and a striptease artist. And, you know, she knew how to appeal to a drunken king and show off her humintoshin and get her way, which was to not be killed in a genocide. And her cousin was played by Daryl Wright, who I would call pimpin' cousin Mordecai, right, because he put her in the vast Persian beauty contest that King Ahasuerus held to find himself a new wife, because his old wife was disobedient.
We are now traveling through the ancient lands with its ancient stories.
And Queen Esther taught him in those ancient lands, those patriarchal lands, that not only would she not be as obedient as she appeared to be, but she would make him obedient to her. And that is an interesting lesson of the story for all you doms out there. How to make your king get on his knees and beg you for whatever you want. Because that is what Esther does to King Ahasuerus. She gets him to get on his knees because she holds back, because she teases and pleases. And she won't tell him what she wants until she does. And then, well, you know, it's kind of an unbonobo ending, because she gets Haman killed, she gets all his sons killed. Haman's the villain, but all the sons, all ages, I don't like that. But that's the Bible for you. And then a whole bunch of other people that... this is why I hate the Bible, even though I love the Bible. Fuck the rich and their stories. Their stories, really. We're all clever storytellers. It's just the rich tell stories that benefit them
and are devastating to others.
So, mean old Uncle Rush, are we ready to talk about him, or should we talk more about your pain?
No. We'll talk about my pain later.
Okay.
In bed.
So I'm happy because...
Yeah, we're going to talk about
it. Yeah, I say we reluctantly talk about him.
Yeah, we're going to talk about
maybe... Like always.
Surprise sex or something like that, like in Sweden.
Yeah, baby.
Right. Surprise!
We're going to have that. By the way, free Julian Assange.
Yeah, please.
That whole surprise sex thing was bogus, even though we always play... Let's have surprise sex. That's one of our little couple games we do. Mm. Sometimes we say, let's have surprise sex like in a few hours. Then it's not surprise, but you know.
I'll pop out of a closet and surprise you.
It's always a surprise.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's always
I love that.
A beautiful thing. So mean old Uncle Rush, I don't know if I'm in the proper bad mood to talk about him, but I'm kind of in a celebratory mood.
Changing mood thing.
We got the last laugh. He's dead.
Well,
okay.
One of the last things he did is take down his assault on you.
That's right. We got that just right before he died. He took down his assault on me. He slut-shamed me, and I shamed him right back. I rebutted his butt.
And it disappeared.
Yeah, and then it disappeared.
Disappeared, yeah.
You know, and I saved a copy of it, though, so I have it, but it's with my commentary. So.
Yeah, sure. But yeah, sure.
So, anyways, we've had some interesting reactions. You know, I put it up all over the place, and I get, somebody saying he deserved to be murdered on Atheists United group in Facebook. I wouldn't go that far. But then Mike, remember Mike who called me a whore last week?
Yes.
Right? So, from my little comment. So then I put up the piece, and he said that I was disrespectful to the dead and that Rush deserved respect. And then somebody said back, Rush didn't deserve respect. And he said, in that case, we shouldn't respect anyone in death. Everyone has been disrespectful in their lives at one point or another. And then guess who joined the conversation?
Jesus.
Close. It was a whole bunch of people, actually. And they're important. They're all important. But one of my heroes, one of my favorite actresses, actually just stepped in to say a few words to say how disrespectful, how often, which set off a flurry of conversation from myself and everybody else because, I don't know, maybe because it was a really good question or maybe because it was Ellen Barkin.
Ooh, I love her.
She is so sexy. Yes. I think we've got our fantasy for tonight for the next week.
I love you.
Yeah, yeah. And she's liked some of my responses since. She hasn't said anything else.
Yeah. I didn't get any likes from her.
I said, personally, I feel disrespectful is too nice a word for Rush, the godfather of modern bigotry who used his avuncular baritone to lie, hurt and defame the poor and disenfranchised, and suck up to the rich and racist. P.S., I'm a big fan of yours, Ellen.
I love
Barkin. I did put her last name in there. So it was an interesting connection. Maybe more will come of this. We will keep you posted, all you FDR fellow travelers. And, of course, Mike has to pipe in and say, not as bad as Harvey Weinstein.
Who's this?
Rush Limbaugh.
Oh,
Rush. That Rush Limbaugh is somehow not as bad.
Mr. Pillman.
I'm so sick of this.
Like, why don't you give me a pill?
This like way to like argue a point is to compare. Like, where did that come from? Like, they're separate things.
And
you stop comparing and using that as an argument.
Make conversation.
Yeah.
On Twitter.
On the internet, I'm now getting.
He's better than Hitler.
Yeah, a bunch of
there
right
you go. There would be another point of conversation.
No, but I'm not endorsing.
Not as bad
I'm not
as
endorsing
Hitler.
Either.
You could say
hashtag
that. Not endorsing.
Not
that.
As bad as Stalin.
What about the guy that dropped the bombs in Japan?
Yeah, Harry Truman.
Truman. Nice.
He was pretty fucked up.
Nice guy.
He was a terrible guy, and you know what? I didn't learn that in school.
Oh, of course
I
not.
Learned he was a very nice guy, very humble.
Oh, yeah.
Very good man, Harry Truman.
Right.
Not quite as good as FDR, of course. FDR was worshipped.
But
more humble because he only took two terms, whereas FDR took like four. There's a lot of bad guys. Let's put it that way. There's a lot of evil. And certainly Rush inspired an American evil movement with Drumpf, with QAnon, with Proud Boys, with Oath Keepers, with the people that stormed the Capitol. And that's just the most visual thing. Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of violence. To me, Harvey Weinstein, type of evil. You know, I didn't know the man, but he certainly was a type of evil, but not as bad. And it triggered the Me Too movement, which hopefully challenges his kind of evil.
Mm-hmm.
And Rush Limbaugh triggered the American evil movement, which is also what they call CPAC, Conservative Political Action Conference, worshiping the golden calf of Bob's Big Boy. And diapies, American diapies. Nothing against diapies. I love big baby boys. You know, it's okay. Mommy's here. Dommy, mommy's here.
Are you referring to me?
I'll take care of you. No, I was referring to everybody but you. I'll take care of you too. Okay. I'll be your nurse. Mm-hmm. The night nurse is here.
So I have pain in my hip.
Okay, well, let me rub foot. It.
Yes, I got
let
that.
Me just rub it and kiss it.
Kisses.
Make it feel yeah. better.
I get a lot of kisses on my back. So
it makes you feel better. They're vitamins. Every kiss is a vitamin.
It's like, wow. It's raining kisses.
Do not do this with people that you are not COVID safe with. Although I guess you could do it through a mask. Hey, get vaccinated, use the mask, and you're fine, I think, to do the kissing thing yeah. on the back.
Yep.
It's pretty
yep.
safe.
Yep.
Pretty, you know. But we are sheltering in place together. And yeah, kisses are vitamins. Caresses are hormone releasers. So all of that helps to combat the pain. But when in doubt, you know, take a Vicodin. Do what you have to do.
Hashtag take a Vicodin.
Well, you know, or Tylenol. I don't know. They say every form of medication is bad for you in some way.
Of course.
Certainly, yeah. Rush was addicted to OxyContin and Viagra. Well, he took the Viagra to counteract the OxyContin, which is probably why he lost his hearing. So, quite a guy. Also said that, you know, smoking was just fine, didn't cause cancer, and he got it. Cancer. Before he could get COVID, you know, he got the cancer because he also said COVID didn't exist. And I often wonder which is worse, Rush cancer or Trump virus?
Both are pretty bad.
Sounds like fungus.
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 Mm.
Forget the swamp.
Can you say fungus in a sexy way? Yeah.
Fungus.
Fungus.
I want to be your fungus.
Fungus.
I want you to touch my fungus.
There is some fun in fungus.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, I don't know. That's kind of gross.
Too far.
We gotta say we have our limits.
Yeah, you keep that fungus away from me.
Yeah, we don't want your fungus. It's but you know, if somebody wants to put their fungus out there, I would not censor them. I might join in on a cancel culture mob, because, yeah, what the hell? But I would not censor you. And let's talk about the difference between censorship and cancel culture. Right?
Yeah, I don't know. Sure, go ahead. So.
Okay, because I'm not really against cancel culture. You know, I mean, I find it funny how celebrities just hate that these non-celebrities, you know, whether they're actors or musicians or politicians, they just hate that non-celebrities hashtags have power over their powers.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I disagree with the cancel culture about half the time. I disagree, or I agree. You know, half, I don't know. I haven't done statistics on my feelings. But you know what? I respect the mob's right to get out there and say, you know what? You suck. Cancel so-and-so. You know, I sometimes think the mob is wrong. They are often wrong about sex, very often. And it's frightening, I will say that, but I don't believe in censoring any of them. Not the right, and of course, I'm on the left, so hey, don't censor me, baby. And the center gets censored too. And when we get our voices stopped.
And our words changed and stopped. Yeah.
People want to call me names, and they have called me names. You know, Mike there called me a whore. I know he didn't mean it in a nice way. Sex worker Mike. Therapist. Hey, I'm sexologist of the year. I got a Glennie Award. Okay, give me something. All right. Mike keeps writing to me, though. Mike just loves this back and forth thing. And I think he got very excited when Ellen Barkin joined in.
Mike, hello? Mike.
Hello, Mike.
Hi, Mike. Got it.
Hello, Mike.
Everything's cool, man. We won't expose you.
I know he must know Ellen Barkin's a celebrity. I know, I think she's brave for putting herself out there. I think all these celebrities are brave for putting themselves out there. And let me tell you something, if you are a celebrity, you're putting yourself out there. That's how it is now. Cancel culture, you know, the mob.
Storm the castle.
The mob is ancient.
Yeah.
Prehistoric. Primal. The primal horde. That's the mob. And sometimes it's scary. And sometimes it's beautiful. When you agree with the mob, it's like an orgy of opinion. Oh, yes. Oh, I love that they're saying this. Yes. I'm going to say something too. Hopefully I'll get some likes. Let me join in. You know, it's like joining in an orgy of discussion. And when you don't like it, you're scared. It's like, oh, I don't want to join in. I don't know. What will they say about me? And they have that right. And if you join in, you got to deal with it. And if you're a celebrity, you have joined in. You are out there. Cancel culture is just the people saying, you know, I like this or I don't like this. And it hurts some celebrities' feelings. I'm a little bit of a celebrity. Ooh. Okay, just a little. Not too much. That's why I say you celebrities are brave. I'm not that brave. But I get it a little bit. You know, I got Mike there calling me a whore.
Yep.
I got that all over the place. I got Rush Limbaugh slut-shaming me, calling me a little item, you know, and calling post-Trump sex disorder, which I was attributing to a lot of people's pain in those days and probably continuing, you know, along with the golden calf. But any case, he called it dysfunction junction. It's maybe a little more sophisticated than calling me a whore, but still mocking me for my sexuality as well as for even trying to help people with their sexuality and their problems.
Who is this guy? Let me know.
He's dead, honey.
Oh,
Rush.
He's dead.
Rush. Yeah, he's dead. Rush. It's okay.
Oh, you're talking about...
We just piss on his grave. Piss. Rest in piss.
Rot and piss.
Rot
Mr.
and piss.
He did so much damage. So much. So much damage. And this right wing is not stopping. They want to take over the country. You know.
Yep.
Yeah. You got to improve your weapons of mass seduction. Because... you keep showing Kimberly Guilfoyle, whatever her name is, just, you know, shimmying around on the stage there. You think you're making fun of her, and you are. And it's not nice to make fun of her, because she actually isn't too bad a dancer. Let's give her some credit there. Everybody's making fun of her, but meantime, you're promoting her. And you're promoting her horrible ideas all the time when you share her video. That's why I won't share that video. I look at it, though, because she's hot. I can't help it. No, I mean, her face is awful. And when she talks, oh, you got to stop. No, please.
Hot
but
is hot.
I got to say, her ass, she moves it. Yeah.
Nice ass is a nice ass. I mean,
right.
I mean, what are you going to say? It's an ass. It's very nice. It's like a mule. It's a very nice mule.
What?
Yeah.
I like it.
Don Jr. is getting gross, though. Really gross. He's always been gross. He's got the guns behind his head now.
Oh, I get it.
Ammosexual. Oh, the ass.
Sorry, 30 seconds later. A little slow there.
No, it's okay.
No problem.
Hey. Ass is a recurring subject on this show.
Like, I don't get it.
Right. It's our airtime, so we can talk about things.
Here. Fuck the rich.
Fuck the rich.
So, you know, part of the people that complain about cancel culture, I find, are the rich. Okay? They're celebrities, they're politicians, they're kind of rich. I mean, the billionaires, they are so upset about cancel culture, they don't even complain. They get other people to complain.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that.
They got people.
I'm staying out.
With
of
people,
mm-hmm.
You know, to talk to the people.
Yeah.
But basically it comes down to, I'm rich, I get to do what I want to do, and you don't get to cancel me. Well, why not? Mm-hmm. You're an entertainer. Maybe you think you should only be considered for your so-called talent. When you think your fans should just be quiet and like you and request autographs. I like that too. I don't like so much when people call me names. I get it. I understand, I know. You know, it's got more to do with who they are than who I am.
I know.
And I say, if you find that this is important enough for you to say, we should cancel culture. You know, stop with this cancel culture. You can't stop the people on something, some kind of social media, saying what they have to say. So, you know, you're already fucked, Rich.
Yep.
You're already fucked.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows you, and people talk about you. And if you can't handle it, you should get therapy.
Yep.
I think the Walmart, did you hear? Walmart said that they were going to pay their people minimum wage of $15 an hour.
Oh, very good. Yeah,
the mobs are at the door.
Yeah, well, the mobs have been all for minimum wage of $15 an hour.
Right.
And Bernie, you dropped the ball on that, I have to say. I think that that's the case. And certainly Joe Biden and all the Democrats. And I hope that $15 an hour is the new minimum wage somehow.
Well, you're still poor.
Yeah.
No worries.
You're still poor.
You're still.
Yeah. And cancel culture is really just about holding the powerful accountable. It's just like the reoccurring theme. Like, and that's what, again, the rich like to try to fight against.
Mm.
Accountability. Like, how can you fight against accountability?
Exactly. And as we make this transition back and forth from Max's discussion to my humintoshin, or actually this Gideon's humintoshin in my mouth at the moment. Woo, that's good. Okay.
You got his
so you know what,
in your
rich people,
mouth.
You are more accountable than you used to be. Sorry, you can only hide in the basement of your yacht for so long. And some of them are hiding. The Corona apocalypse is quite a time to hide. It's a good time to hide. Hide behind your mask. You know, it's a good thing.
Mm. Yep.
So, sorry, Rich, but, you know, your fans who used to be silent, now they want to tell you what they think of you. Now they want to take you down a peg. And, yeah, fuck the rich. But better to be fucked than eaten. You got to just figure out how to dance with it, how to respond. I'm not saying it's easy, and I'm not saying I can do it. I got to say, you're brave, but you got to be brave now, in addition to whatever you do, whether you're an Olympic athlete or you're an actor or you're a politician, you are going to be talked about, everything about you. I know, it's scary. You know, if you're famous, that's what people like to do now. It's like gossip has become the thing. And to take away the gossip, I don't know how you do it.
We're back in the little village.
One thing you can do.
Everybody can see what we're doing and who's
who. One thing I would strongly suggest for the culture is to be more bonobo, you know. We are going to be the mob, you know. We are going to be the cancel culture, making our opinions known. So I think these opinions should be bonobo. I think they should be pro-peace, anti-war, pro-female, for the most part. I say for the most part because not all females...
And male well-being.
And, of course, well, you know, we say with bonobos, it's like female empowerment and male well-being. Both are balancing of the same thing. So the thing being peace in the community. Okay, that's something in front of me, but I don't know what to do with it.
I'm stoned, right? Yeah.
All right.
We did get a drop by with MJ Napoli again. I know he stopped
Hello,
by last week.
MJ Napoli.
Where was he?
He was praising you again.
He said he was going to call me.
Why didn't you call us?
Yeah, why didn't you
he
call?
He said, I'm going to call you. That's what he said on my Instagram, and I don't go on Instagram very often. Sorry, guys. I only go like 3 times a week, if that, maybe twice a week. Because I don't know, it's like it's all these pictures. I like words.
He did get say you're a sexy goddess. And
thank you.
That he's also part of the weird community like we are, and he watches videos of all our after parties.
I'm a sexy goddess, and he's also part of the weird
spread
community.
The word
You know,
we don't want to be oppressed.
I like you, MJ. Okay.
Call us.
MJ, you know, I don't know. What is he into? Smelling my feet? Something like that? Or am I mixing that up?
I can't remember what he was into.
Something Max
from
was
last
into.
Week, yeah.
I don't remember.
Call us and let us know next week what you're
okay,
into.
Okay, so you can call us at 626-461-5950. But it's getting late in the course of the show. So let me just say that. You know, there's no privacy on this show, obviously. I mean, we are not going to say your last name, but your voice is out there. We're not going to do any of these. This gal asks me, do you do voice changers? No, we don't do. We like your voice. We like the way you sound. So when you're on this show, you're kind of sacrificing a little bit of that voice privacy. And certainly, you know, that's something some people don't want to do. So if you want real privacy, then you need to talk to the Dr. Susan Block Institute, the therapists. You know, I mean, even when you talk to anybody nowadays, or let's just say a lot of people, then somebody's going to rat on you. I mean, even from your inner circle, even maybe your spouse, maybe not, you know, maybe you feel like you're part of the same person, but maybe they're away a lot, you know, and you text and they could share it. And certainly so could, you know, obviously Ted Cruz's wife shared their little sex getaway to Cancun. Hey, everybody, and we're also bringing the kids and we're also going to blame them when, you know, the inevitable happens.
And how quickly he crosses the border when things aren't going so well.
Well, yeah, they were really not going well. He is not a bright guy. He went to Harvard after all.
So he's not opposed to crossing the border in hard times.
No, he loves being a senator, but he also loves being the most ridiculous politician in the United States. And that is saying a lot. And I heard this from Jeffrey St. Clair. But that, you know, he is. He's the biggest buffoon on the national political scene right now. Everybody sees those pictures of him dragging his little suitcase through the airport with his mask on. And everybody knows he's the cuck in the humiliated sense of the term to Trump except Trump doesn't get his wife because his wife, according to Trump, isn't good looking enough. But instead, Trump gets his soul, which is like, I don't know, somehow maybe feminine. And so Ted Cruz, every moment, is giving his soul, if he has one at this point left. I don't know. Texas, wake up. Beto is there. It's like a, like Romeo waiting for Juliet. Come on, Texas.
Texas. Unregulated Texas. Great.
So anyway, if you really want some privacy and you want to talk with total confidence that you will not be ratted on, call the Dr. Susan Block Institute for the Erotic Arts and Sciences, where we will talk to you about whatever you need to talk about, you know, that you can't talk to anyone else about, whether it's serious telephone sex therapy or a hot phone sex experience, you know, or a combination. You know, it can be erotic hypnosis or talk about a taboo fantasy or reality, a taboo reality that you need to share with somebody, or something you want to have happen or something you're hoping won't happen. I don't know, you know, but we talk about it all. We have several therapists, Therapists Without Borders, and we're here for you. So we also help you release your inner bonobo. We practice the bonobo way, and I want to give a shout out to Ashley Judd, who is a bonobo advocate, and she is also a Me Too advocate, and she is currently convalescing in South Africa, I think, but she hurt herself on a bonobo observation project in the Congo in the rainforest. It was an accident, but
what happened to her?
You know, it's hard to say, but something about, you know, getting up in the middle of the night, whether it's because she couldn't sleep
and walk around,
or, you know, walking around. And it wasn't like maybe an animal ran by, or maybe she just tripped over something. You know, it's dark and you're out in the jungle, and or there could be an animal that you trip over, and then the next thing you know, you've hurt yourself really bad. And a lot of people die that way, or they lose their legs. But she is very, you know, careful to say she's very fortunate, and I think she's right that she is very fortunate that she could get on a hammock, you know, first of all, her own fortitude to wait the amount of time she had to wait for people to help, and then to be on a hammock to get through a certain area, and then on a motorcycle, and then in a car.
Somebody carrying her in
hammocks? Yeah,
yeah. Okay.
All that stuff, it's pretty intense.
It wasn't like a flying hammock.
Talk about pain, Max. I hate to say that this person probably, you know, surpassed you in pain, because I know you were certainly in a lot of pain. And she also was with, you know, maybe a friend, but mostly with strangers that she was relying on to help her. And I'm sure paying them, but still, you know, needing them to help. And that's, I know, such a feeling. I know from my own experience in hospitals, when you're dependent like that, it's a very humbling feeling. If you're never dependent like that, you don't know what that's like. But you know, maybe some people forget it. You know, human mind is so good at forgetting things are uncomfortable. But certainly she's been through that, and now she's convalescing. So we want the best for her, and we certainly support the work that she does with the Bonobo Conservation Initiative. And I think with Lola Ya Bonobo and the Bonobo Project, which we support as well, helping to save the bonobos from extinction because they are highly endangered. So, how's your pain?
My pain is your pain, darling.
Oh, you know, I know that. That
then the weed and liquor are so working. Poetic. That's what that means.
That was a poetic. Hold on, Max. Let me.
If you're experiencing like a high level of pain, like over number 10, you know, I think you can experience like 20, but if it's over 10, it's really bad, and you're going to be screaming. And so,
well, you know. Yeah.
You need to do something. Pain management.
Probably drink more.
That can help some people, but then be careful about the driving, you know, and stuff like that.
Well, I have to be careful about walking.
Or over drinking and other things. Just do it responsibly.
Right. Who knows if Tiger Woods experienced a spasm of pain as he was driving.
Yeah, he got in an accident.
Bad accident. Yes. And he should thank Goddess for Ralph Nader that he had some seatbelts, you know, to keep it from killing him. So I've always been supportive of Tiger Woods, so I hope he does okay.
Rooting for you.
So anything to say about the pleasure shop?
The pleasure shop. Lots of things. It's evolving. It's starting to get some really nice things. And
we've been selling some things through eBay, I guess.
eBay, yeah, yeah.
You know, some different things. And so, you know, we have an eBay store and also an Etsy store and then Dr. Block's Pleasure Shop.
Right, right. That's the best part.
Come visit us there.
You know, we have all kinds of books. And also, if you want to become interactive with it, let me know, and we're going to include you in our art gallery.
Ooh,
yeah. So big old canvases, or you know, what are we doing?
We're trying to create a new art piece. Like, you know, some people want to do 100 houses. You know, some people want to do the waterfall for 12 hours. This is great.
We want to combine a bunch of pictures of people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, cool.
I'll tell you about it later.
All right.
But if you want to be published on Canvas,
I'll hear about it later.
Give us a call.
That'll be part of our pillow talk.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Added to the threesome, right?
Yeah.
Threesome?
Or what was
it? Polyamory, baby.
The polyamory.
You know,
yeah.
Polyamory.
Fantasy.
It's kind of tough in the corona apocalypse, I got to say. It's tough for people to be polyamorous.
I know the swinger community.
Fantasy works no matter what.
Yes, so yes, of course. But you're a little bit polyamorous even in the corona apocalypse.
Yeah, but safely. All my partners are tested weekly for COVID. So,
wow.
And I test myself every other week or every 3 weeks just because I want to.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, you got to do different things to mitigate this situation.
Sounds like an STD testing.
It's about getting tested. It's about getting vaccinated. If you can get into that category, I myself have had pneumonia twice, and that's my badge of honor. When in doubt, wear a mask. You can even have sex with a mask.
Put on a helmet.
It's uncomfortable. right. A condom is uncomfortable, but people wear them.
Yep, you have to.
Right? It's like it's not the number one thing. But, you know, that's life. And that's pleasure versus pain. Is the number one thing isn't always achievable. So you do number two. You know, if your pain level is at a 10 and you can bring it down to a 3, hey, that's fantastic.
Fantastic.
And also fantastic. Yeah. Well, talking about sex, if you have it with a condom, okay, so it's not a 10.
It's also elastic.
Like a 7, maybe. I don't know, depending on who you're doing it with and how good it feels. Or the kind of condom, maybe. And doing it with a mask, you know, kissing with a mask is, I don't know. Or doing the kissing on the back with a mask. I guess if you're kissing on the front with a mask, hey, those little molecules are going to get through no matter what. But the kissing on the back you could do with a mask. And we're going to come out with a piece called Making Masks Sexy.
Ooh.
You think that we can do that?
Sure, sure. Oh, yeah.
Make masks sexy.
I think so.
Yep. Wear nothing but the mask.
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
Right. Well, that certainly works, right. Wearing nothing but the mask. Masks are weapons of mask seduction.
Some smoky eyes.
Yes, eyes are important. You're showing your eyes. The eyes are the weapons of mask seduction. And so you got to be conscious of your eyes. And if you wear glasses like I do, that could be a problem. Or you can use it as a asset, an advantage. That's all about sex appeal, using things that are often perceived as disadvantages as the advantages that they can be. So the mask, you know, you are covering something, but that which conceals also reveals, and it can reveal your sexuality in an interesting, very appealing way. And then, of course, when you remove the mask, well, and show your naked face, that can be more revealing than a striptease. So we'll talk more about that, masks and weapons of mask seduction. It's uncomfortable, but I guarantee it's not as uncomfortable as a ventilator. I've been on a ventilator. I'll talk about that another show.
Okay. Maybe the next show.
Being on a ventilator. It's really quite something. It's intense.
I want to talk about that. Intense. I have questions. Yeah.
We're over time.
Oh, we're over time, though.
No, we're not. We're 2 minutes late, so we're two minutes.
We were 2 minutes late.
Yeah, so we're about 2 minutes.
2 minutes.
But you don't want to talk about being on a ventilator for the last 2 minutes of the show?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, yeah. We could always go over.
I say we end on a sexy note.
Yeah, exactly. Although I did have sexual fantasies about the ventilator, but they were mostly bad ones.
Really?
Like rape, blowjob type things. You know, like being forced to suck something that was in my mouth that I didn't know what it was because I was unconscious when I was put on the ventilator. And you're on so many drugs that even if you're conscious, you probably forget what it is. And you just feel violated. I know that rape is violating in a way that medical procedures are not. But I've been through enough medical procedures and I've been raped, unfortunately. And I just think the medical procedures have been worse for me. And of course, I haven't been hurt, cut, things like that, fortunately. I was dragged down the stairs by my hair, and that was bad. But it wasn't as bad as being on a ventilator.
Oh my God.
I tell you, do not get on the ventilator. It is worse than being dragged by your hair down the stairs.
That paints a vivid
picture.
But
if your boyfriend does that, break up with him. I broke up with this guy immediately.
Yes.
And, you know, sometimes I drag things on, but if someone's violent, stop it, stop it. That's what you got to do. Yes.
Or nothing. I'm just.
Max is never.
Who was
violent.
That guy?
That guy, you didn't know him. His name was Jordy, and I don't feel bad because he's. I don't know what happened to him. That was years ago. That was like, oh my God. That was like when I was at Yale. I met him on a summer at.
Fuck Jordy from
Naropa Institute, which was really a sexy summer. It was sexy, and to end on a sexy note, the beginning of our relationship was very erotic. I was high, as I always was through that summer, at Naropa Institute, which was run by Allen Ginsberg and William Burroughs, and beat poets, basically. And this guy named Chögyam Trungpa Rinpoche, who was later accused of sexual misconduct, but a lot of people at the Institute were. So Gregory Corso and Allen Ginsberg was after the boys. And so, yeah, it was a wild place, but I was just chilling, and this thing came through the window, and I picked it up off the floor, and it was a nice, big peyote bud.
Wow.
That's and something to find.
Yeah.
I a stranger?
Had never eaten peyote, but I was an adventurous girl.
Fuck yeah.
And I ate some of it, and I threw up.
Did you get high?
Oh, man. I went crazy. And I went out of the apartment or whatever, dorm room, whatever we were in, and I went into a field. I was like, driven, I was possessed to meet Jordy, who I called Johnny Peyote Seed to begin with, because he was like throwing peyote
Johnny
buttons
peyote
around.
I like it.
For a while. He was kind of an artist and a bad guy because he dragged me down the steps by the hair
because
I cheated on him with the yoga instructor.
Still unacceptable. Yeah. Still unacceptable.
Right. And then the yoga instructor would have nothing to do with me. It was out of his house. Because everybody was close together. Although Jordy lived in a teepee, I got to have this wonderful bohemian sexual existence living for like 2 weeks in a teepee in the Colorado Boulder Mountain area. It's cool.
We still have so much. I recommend it. We still have so much to uncover. I can't wait.
What was the moral of that story? Oh, don't stay with a guy that drags you by the hair, even if he's like really romantic. Like, you know, Johnny Peyote Seed was like Mr. Romantic, very good looking, everything good. Except, and I did see little flare-ups of the anger, and I didn't leave when he was yelling and saying, I don't want you with another man, kinds of things. But when it starts, leave. Please try. Okay, I know. It's hard. I know. So anyways, thank you, Ellen Barkin, for entering my life, even briefly. It's turned me on. I loved you in Sea of Love with Al Pacino. And Man Trouble with Jack Nicholson. And I know you were some other movies I didn't see. But I hope to hear from you again. And are we about to close the show?
Yeah, we're over time, but yeah.
I think our train's arrived.
Yeah.
So in closing.
We hope you had a good time. That's the best thing. And maybe if you're not asleep yet and then it's nighttime and you just want to kind of, you know.
See something sexy. Watch the Purim show right after this.
Right. Yes,
if you're listening
show.
Live. If you're listening on tape, then just watch the Purim show. Just go to drsusanblock.tv and look for Purim-Rising. Or go to drsusanblock.com/porn-rising.
And you won't regret it. It's such a good
no.
show.
It is.
You're welcome. You're
so
welcome.
Wild and amazing and
orgasmic.
Blasphemous, all of it. It's fun, bacchanalian. And then it resulted in issues, of course. Nothing is perfect in life. No day. Maybe a minute could be perfect, or an hour. But there's usually something comes along, like the dog pooped on the linoleum. So you should be grateful that it was linoleum and not the rug. Okay, make like bonobos, not baboons. Make love, not war. Make love to someone you love tonight. Even if that someone is you, I love you.
Tune in next week.
See you next week. Or you can watch 24 hours a day and listen. It's all free.
Need to talk with someone about something you can't talk about with anyone else? You can talk to us. I'm Dr. Susan Block, your mistress of the airwaves. But my day job is director of the Dr. Susan Block Institute for the Erotic Arts and Sciences, specializing in sex therapy over the phone. Anytime you need to talk, whether you need serious psychotherapy or a hot phone sex experience or a combination, my world-renowned telephone sex therapists are just a phone call away. Totally private, absolutely confidential. We listen, talk with you, advise you, role-play for you, fantasize with you, no fantasy is too taboo, and help you with anything from impotence to exhibitionism, fears to desires, fetishes to marriages. For more information, call us at 213-291-9497. That's 213-291-9497 anytime you need to talk.
You're listening to Radio Suzy One on the World Wide Web.